Hello, this is Robert Hertzberg for Network Computing Magazine. My guest is Mark Lewis, the Chief Development Officer of EMC Corporation. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Robert.
So EMC has been growing at more than a double-digit rate in terms of revenue over the past year or so, maybe for a few years. Is information management as hot an area as those numbers would suggest?
Well, definitely, yes, Robert. The core growth of storage that our customers are putting on electronic media today has literally been growing 60 to 70% over the last 10-year period. And everything we see indicates that that trend would continue, massive raw storage growth. But beyond that, our customers need better and better ways to manage all of that information growth, and that's where we really have come in. So while you see the IT growth overall being somewhat slower, we've with EMC both been able to grow because of the information needs that our customers have, as well as through taking share and moving into new markets.
Now, buy versus build is always a question for tech companies, but with the 21 companies that EMC has bought in the last 3 years, you've answered that pretty decisively. What's the common thread in the companies you've acquired?
Well, a couple of key points there. Number one, we've clearly biased over the past few years our growth strategy towards acquisitions because we really felt we did need to redefine ourselves somewhat in terms of our value proposition to our customers. And that was done, we believe, most effectively through acquisition. Now, we've acquired on four very key threads that we felt were critical to our customers. We acquired on a core thread of virtual and flexible infrastructures, and that's been acquisitions like VMware and Ringfinity. We've acquired along a thread of information and content management, and that's been associated acquisitions like Legato and Documentum. Then we've acquired on an area what we call IT orchestration, really helping manage all of the cross domains that you have in your IT environment. And that's been led by acquisitions like Nlayers and Smarts. And then finally, our customers very much responded with the need for better information-centric security. And we responded there with an acquisitions of companies like RSA, Network Intelligence, and Authentica. So really, you can group all of our 23 acquisitions into four key threads that we feel are critical for our customers.
So that's 23, not 21.
We've done a couple with the acquisition of Avamar and one other that I must have fit in there. So we've done a couple more.
All right. Thanks for the clarification on that. Does the surge in acquisition activity, Mark, is that also a sign that internal innovation has come to some sort of halt?
Well, it's exactly the opposite. You've noticed most of our acquisitions, in fact, every one I'm very proud of, has been a market extension acquisition. So while we have extended our value proposition and relevance to our customers, we've done literally very, very few and really no competitor-type acquisitions. And that's because our internal innovation machine, you know, within the product that we sell today is absolutely the strongest it ever has been. And we've been very competitive in our core product lines, continuing to take share in every major market that we serve. But obviously, the acquisition strategy is built much more on improving our relevance and overall value proposition to customers, not really focused on you know, core product innovation, which we're able to do.
Speaking of market extensions, you recently opened a software development office in China, which, I guess to put it politely, has a sort of informal attitude toward intellectual property rights. What value do you get from that office, and how do you balance the risks?
Well, there's perception and reality in all areas like that. You know, while you look at certain other countries and they may have intellectual property issues in certain areas, you know, and the things that people are most aware of can be things like, you know, DVDs and whatnot. The teams that we're putting together and the folks we're bringing together there are very much direction. We're very much focused on intellectual property security and intellectual property rights. And we're obviously doing more of our development there that is associated with things like open source. So we are going to get more and more engaged with leveraging open source technology as a part of our overall offering. So as a global company, you know, it is very important to us at EMC participate in the global, you know, marketplace, both as a supplier, but also as a consumer of resources.
Data storage has always been something of a commodity business. In which of your product areas are you feeling pricing pressure?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, there's a lot of talk of storage itself being a fairly commoditized business, but really, if you look at all of the areas and we play where we start to add value on top of the disk drives and with the data protection solutions and all of the other pieces, you know, we feel very comfortable that we've been able to maintain a strong, not just value differential, but business level of operating margin in terms of what we do. So even if you look at buying, you know, hardware components that are less expensive or whatnot, it's really making sure we add enough value and put the right cost structure in place to be able to deliver the operating margin. And, you know, we're very comfortable with what we're doing.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about specific product areas. EMC has been offering both entry-level and mid-range systems in either fiber channel or iSCSI versions for a while now. What kind of growth are you seeing in the iSCSI space, especially for entry-level systems?
Well, you know, the growth, clearly, the way I categorize it, Robert, is that the growth in storage today is being more and more consumed by what I call IP storage. And IP storage includes iSCSI, it includes network attached, but there's less of a focus on the exact protocol and more clearly in the mid-tier growth, the DAS replacement growth, the direct attached storage replacement is coming, you know, almost exclusively in the area of IP storage. Now, having said that, what we see for storage area networks and fiber channel are that, you know, the enterprises that have them and the enterprises that mostly have deployed them aren't showing any signs of changing what they're doing. They're very comfortable with their environments, but the growth is clearly in IP storage.
And that's IP as in intellectual property?
No, that's IP in terms of internet protocol. So it you know, Ethernet based. So it includes iSCSI, but it also includes NFS and SIFS, what we would traditionally call NAS.
What impact do you think 10 gigabit Ethernet will have on the storage industry?
You know, in some ways nothing, in some ways everything. What's happening in the environment is that fiber channel and data center technologies have always had a fairly huge speed premium in terms of how they can communicate with data. Obviously, as networks like 10 gig get faster and faster, it drives a couple of key things. One is it becomes easier to use a common network because the performance is so high that you simply have enough overhead to deal with some of the inherent arbitration performance issues that have existed in, say, more generic networks. So you just begin to overcome those. And the second thing that happens with speed is that we can continue to do more and more wide area data sharing from centralized sources. So we expect to see a continued growth there with higher bandwidth rates, allowing more core central storage to exist and service that storage to more individuals at the edge.
That's a good lead-in for my next question. The Googleplex, where millions of consumers store petabytes of information, has demonstrated that data storage is yet another thing that can be delivered as a service. To what extent do you see EMC's own business evolving that way to be a hosted service rather than a set of hardware products, say, that customers install and maintain on their own?
Yeah, we're clearly focused on delivering the core software capabilities that let our customers, you know, most of our customers are IT infrastructure consumers themselves, and most of them want to, you know, if you will, allocate and provision Information Storage out as a service to their customers, which are the individual businesses within their organization. So we very much do that today, and we're continuing to work to extend that philosophy. And so to whatever degree our customers ask us to provide more software technology that can be, as we call it, multi-tenancy, which is multiple customers on a single system, we view that's a very important part of our business. Now, how we are going to distinguish ourselves, while you say there's a lot of these internet providers a la Google out there, you know, offering up, you know, free storage for advertising, it's our belief that there's obviously a very, very large constituency of our customers and business owners that like the idea of you know, more storage as a service, but really require something that is private and secure. And so, you know, with our acquisition of RSA and with the pieces we put together, you know, our effort will not be on, if you will, the public web. Our effort is very much focused on the private web.
Okay, here's my Pac-Man question. We've said a lot here about your acquisitions, but what about the possibility that someone may turn around and gobble you up? A recent magazine article, I think, cited EMC as a prime LBO candidate.
Well, you know, those are things that it's really hard to comment on, Robert, because there, you know, there's always possibilities of things happening, but you know, there's just not things that you can really speculate on. Our job and our focus, you know, remains to do the best job that we can, and do the best job of, you know, growing earnings for our shareholders, being relevant to our customers, and really doing well by our employees. And that's, you know, that's what we stay all about, and these other things just kind of run their course.
Mark, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
This has been Robert Hertzberg for Network Computing Magazine.